Amen. Amen. John Wesley and Jesus Christ both preached to thousands without electronical help, so it can be done. God bless you. Thank you for being here in the house of God tonight. We want to welcome everyone. We want to especially welcome our guests. If you are with us online, please take this opportunity to let us know that you are with us. You can contact us through the Bitly app that will be there on your screen. If you're here in the auditorium and you're a guest of ours, first-time guest, we have a couple of points of information. We'd just like to reach out to you, let you know how much we appreciate your presence here. If you can get a connection card, if you haven't already got one, you can get one from the kiosk out front in the vestibule or talk to one of our ushers, and they'll help you out with that. Amen. You can be seated. Four words everyone loves to hear. You may be seated. Amen. When we pray, we have a number of prayer requests, and I just want to say this right away so I don't overlook it. First of all, most of you know already that Sister Lois Grant's mother has passed away. And so the Grant family and the Michaels family are mourning her loss. The arrangements for that will be for the family only, so there probably won't be any special announcement as far as funeral arrangements or anything, but please keep them in prayer. And then also, today we found out that a former pastor, one of the pastors that worked with Bishop Grant and was a mentor and teacher to many of us, Brother Jimmy Rutherford, passed away today. So please keep the Rutherford family. Belinda Sarah has been a member here, and the Rutherfords were a very integral part of this church for a long time. And Brother Rutherford and Bishop Grant were very, very close friends over the years. So please keep them in mind, keep them in prayer. Pastor Roy and Sister Lois are up at the campground. Pastor Jerry's up there. Please keep all of the people that are working on the campground, keep them in mind, keep them in prayer as well. Amen. We want to remind you of our giving options. If you're worshiping today with us in person, of course, you can drop your offering in the offering box and out by the kiosk as well. And then our final Mother's Memorial offering is Sunday. You can use MM to designate Mother's Memorial when you text to give. At 608-719-3883. You can also mail it in to our snail mail address, or you can go online and give at cgcmadison.org/giving. Next Friday, June 4th, will be all church prayer at 7 o'clock. Amen. And then June 6th will be a new service schedule. We'll begin here at Calvary Gospel Church, and the schedule is there on a screen. 9:45, we'll begin the check-in for the children in Sunday school. 10 a.m., we'll have adult and children's classes. Children's classes will be held in other parts of the building, and you'll get all the instructions on that as we get closer. We will have an adult class here teaching Ministry of the Word. And then at 10:45, the preacher has to stop. And then we'll check out and greet all the guests. I thought we'd get a bigger response on that, maybe applause or something. But okay. And then we'll have our worship service will begin at 11 a.m. So what we are doing then with that first part of the educational aspect is we're teaching in here and in other parts of the building by age groups. Some of the training that we have done in the past will be done during that time, ministering training, New Life classes, that all those schedules have to be worked out, and you will be informed on that. But we then will have our Sunday evenings open for ministry and outreach outside of the building. And that's the whole purpose of this, is to give you an opportunity to reach out to your community, to make plans, to meet with people, to get involved in connection groups and make a difference so that we can reach our community for Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
All right, so that begins June 6th. So please stand at this time. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Please remember the Rutherfords, the Rutherford family, the Sarahs, the Grants, the Michaels, and for the workers at camp. Elder Caskey is going to minister the word of the Lord tonight. We're looking forward to that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in this place. We're so grateful, Lord, that we know who you are and that you have revealed yourself to us, oh God, that your presence is in this place, that we are able to approach you in prayer and in worship. We're grateful to you, oh God, for you first loved us, Lord God, so we can love you. We ask for your blessing and your anointing upon these loved ones of ours, the Grant family, oh God, and the Michaels family, and the Rutherfords, oh God, and the Sarahs. So many people are affected by these losses, oh God. We ask, oh God, for the power and the presence of God to be manifest in every heart and every mind that of those who knew these souls who have passed. We know, oh God, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. But we ask, oh God, in this hour that your presence would be so tangible and so powerful that these, especially those that were closest, will feel your presence and your touch and your healing, your comfort. We release this and we claim this in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way in this service, we pray, and help us to each of us, oh God, to give our hearts to you so that you can minister to us in the word, that your anointing and your power would rest upon our elder Brother Caskey, oh God, that his spirit and his heart, his mind would be caught in the flow of the Spirit and minister according to your will. We know, oh God, that you have a purpose for this night and for this place and for all of us that are here and all of us that are online. And we ask, oh God, help us to submit to your will and to your purpose, that you may be glorified in this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen. Amen.
Found.
Hallelujah. Lift your voice. Lift your shouting to God with a voice of triumph. Let the name of the Lord be glorified tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're standing, I would like to ask your prayer on behalf of Brother Bailey, pastor in Beloit. He is suffering with COVID with a very serious attack. I believe somebody here has a word of faith that right now you can speak that word and send it, the angel on its way. But somebody just right now, believe God for that divine miracle. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. You're on the throne. We rebuke this disease. We free this servant of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle. Thank you, Lord, you're greater than COVID. Thank you, Lord, you're greater than any disease. By your stripes, we were healed. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody's getting excited. Glory to God. Somebody's believing. And it's happening in the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Appreciate this opportunity to be with you. I want to share something from my heart tonight that I feel God has given me. Amen. We've been talking a lot about revival, and I believe in revival. This church and your pastor has been speaking of a vision God has given him. But the problem is that many times all of us, and I'm including myself, we put revival in the future. I'm going to get ready for God to do something tomorrow. Or I'm going to get ready for God to do something in another year or whenever. And I feel tonight that there are those that are in this congregation that God is saying to you, tonight is your night to literally give yourself to God and begin to believe God for some divine miracles, not just in the church, but in your life and in the way you witness to others. Amen. The topic of my on a minister tonight is I Thought You'd Never Ask. And I want to take you to the book of Judges chapter 6. And we'll do this a little bit different. I'm just going to read the text. I'll read it as I go along. Judges 6 begins the story that Israel had fallen away from God. And as they fell away from God, God, to get their attention, allowed the Midianites and the Amalekites, two literally enemies of Israel. The Midianites were related to the Israelites. Because if you ever look into the scripture, you find that Father Abraham had some more children beside Isaac. He had some children by Keturah, his handmaid, after Sarah passed away. And one of those children's name was Midian. And Midian was the place, of course, that Moses went and fled to. Now, we know that there was a relationship between Moses and the Midianites. And we know that Moses' brother-in-law became one of the guides that got him through the land to the wilderness. But between that time and when they entered the land of Israel, in their promised land of Cana, something happened. And that nation began to fight against them. And you find they joined the Moabites and joined in the curse. And it was one of the Midianites that literally came into the camp to begin their acts of immorality. The other group that came was the Amalekites. The Amalekites were the descendants of Esau. They were the Amalek was the grandson of Esau. They had got out with God because when Israel was coming from the land of Egypt, the Amalekites attacked, and they took the weak, and they took those straggling behind. According to scripture, it seemed to be the women and the children that they gathered, they captured to misuse. And of course, remember there was a battle between Joshua and them, and Moses that stood on the mountain with his hands, with the rod of God in his hands. As long as the rod was held, Israel prevailed, and when he became tired, Israel was defeated. Till finally they propped him up, holding up his arms, till the sun went down. But at that point, God said to Moses, I'm going to literally wipe the Amalekites from off the face of the earth. But it did happen. By the time that you're reading in the book of Judges 6, hundreds of years have passed, and they were becoming a great adversary. So the Midianites and the Amalekites had come into the year for 7 years, and they were taking the crops. Israel would sow the crop, and the Amalekites and the Midianites would come in and take the crops, and literally Israel was starving to death. And so there's one man that the Bible says was so scared that he got some wheat and hid somewhere behind the wine press and was beating out some wheat. And we pick it up in the book of Judges 6 and verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was Ophrah, pertaining unto Israel, the Abarizite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Now remember at this point, when this person speaks, the Bible knows who he is, but Gideon does not. Gideon is not aware that this man that's speaking to him is an angel of the Lord, or literally the personification of God in angelic form. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Look up the word valor. It means courage and strength. This is quite a story. This is what you would call an oxymoron. The guy's hiding, and the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, "O my Lord," notice in your text that that is small L-O-R-D, meaning he's just addressing a man. "If the Lord be with us, why are this befallen us? Where be all the miracles which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? And now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." It's literally a word of despair. Where is God? Where are the miracles that we've been told about? Where are the actions of God that we've been desiring to see? We're living in this. The pressure's on, folks. And if you let it take over, we are going to become like everybody else, fearful and scared, and we're going to literally bow down to the idols of this world. I'm getting strong. Because we're being pressed into this mold. And he gives us, "Lord, where are you?" And the Lord said, "I'm glad you asked. I'm really glad you asked that." Because he said, the next thing, "You are chosen. You're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?" And so we find Gideon is in this position now. He is living in it. And immediately Gideon starts telling God why he can't. "I'm too young. I'm from the tribe that nobody recognizes as leadership. I'm from a small family. And beside that, I'm the youngest one of the family. I can't do it." There's something that you have to understand. God is looking for people today to be empowered and allow God to empower them. He's looking for you tonight. Because I'm not... in my age, I can't do it by myself. All right? You got that down. I'm an old man or older man or a senior citizen, as I don't like to be called, but I am. But the Lord is not just going to speak to me. There's young people sitting here tonight that God wants you to have a greater ministry than Bishop Grant or Emmett Caskey, or anybody else you can name that you know. Because this is your call from God. And immediately we come up with all these excuses. Now, Gideon says, "God, I just can't do it." And God says, "I'm really glad you ask, because you're about to find out what I can do." Now, up to this time, Gideon still does not know who he's talking to. He thinks he's talking to a prophet or something like that. And he says, "Well, may I make you a meal? And the person that he's talking to says, you can make a meal, but I'm not going to eat it. So Gideon decides, I'll make a meal. So he gets himself a goat, and he cooks this little kid, and he makes some bread, and he brings it out to this person. And the person says, put it on that rock over there. And so Gideon immediately puts it out, thinking it's going to be a picnic lunch. And the angel of the Lord, which now Gideon still doesn't know he's talking to, touches the rock. The rock ignites in fire, and the offering is completely consumed, and the angel of the Lord disappears. And then Gideon says, oh, I'm going to die. I just saw God. And the Lord said, you're not going to die. You've got a job to do. I'm telling you, when you meet God, sometimes you wish you had died. Because your unrighteousness just seems to come out, and God's holiness just seems to prevail. I believe there's young people here tonight that God is talking to. You may be a teenager, or you may be a preteen. You may be 8 or 9 years old. I remember I received the Holy Ghost some 66 years ago in a tent meeting at a place called Arcadia, Wisconsin. There was no church, and just recently there has been a church started there. For years, over 40 years, there was no church in that place. But I'll tell you, that night when I got the Holy Ghost, my pastor came. I was 11 years old, and he came and he looked in the window where I was sitting in the back seat of the old Chevrolet after I got the Holy Ghost, and he said, God has called you to be a preacher. At 11. I didn't want to hear it. And some of you don't want to hear it, but God says, I've chosen you. Now you begin to hear the miracles, and we begin to say, God, I read about miracles that's taking place on the foreign field. Why aren't they happening here? Why aren't people getting healed here? Well, they are, and there's more miracles than we realize. But let's ask it like this. Why am I not personally seeing miracles take place in my life and in my spirit? There's a story, literally, there's something just came out, and we're quite sure that we can't confirm it, but is told a story when Pentecost started in Azusa Street back in the early 1900s, that a person that was a deaf teacher brought 38 of his students to the meeting on Azusa Street. And somebody said to him, you know, if you bring them here, you're going to be out of a job. And the man says, well, I don't think everybody will get healed, but maybe one or two. Well, it's so that there's a man in there, believe God could, and this can happen. You can get a miracle. You can get a gifting for certain things that other people don't see, but God will do it through you. This man believed, this minister believed that God could heal deaf ears. And he was noted to whisper in deaf ears and say very quietly, in the name of Jesus, demon of deafness, come out. He'd whisper in the ear, and the deaf person would hear it. He did it to the first person, and when that person began to hear, faith went through it, and all 38 got healed and put the teacher out of business that night. Has God gone to sleep, folks? Has God lost his power? Or are we just satisfied with having good church? And God wants to use us. Amen. We just sang this wonderful song about what all could God could do, that he can go with us through the fire. But we don't want to go through the fire. Hallelujah. But God wants to take us through some place where he doesn't want, where we may not want to go. And I remind all of you young folks, all of you that went to North American Youth Congress back in 2019. Anybody here go to that Congress? See a few hands. Do you remember the miracles that took place there? Remember what the prophecy was? This is the beginning of miracles for your generation. Do you remember that? And people said, this is a word from the Lord. And along comes COVID and we forget it. But God hasn't changed. His word does not change. Hallelujah. He is still God, and his word does not change. And when he speaks it, he's not going to take it back. The whole problem is we've got to be able to say, that's for me. I'm going to take it. It's mine. And I'm going to claim it in the name of the Lord. Somebody clap your hands right now like you believe God's going to do it in your life, in your spirit. Gideon's first assignment was cut down a few idols. Take down your daddy's idols. Now, I know that most of your dads do not have idols in their backyard. I'm well aware of that. But there's a lot of idols that can pop up, idols that distract us from God. And the Lord said, I want you to cut it down. He was so scared he had to do it at night. The next morning, the people got up to worship Baal, and Baal is cut down and burned up, and they're angry. They said, somebody took our God down. Anybody takes a God down needs to die. So they go to see his dad, and they said, your son cut down our God. And the dad said, well, if he's a God, let him take care of himself. He got a new name that day. It was called Jerubbaal, the Baal destroyer. And so it was. And there's some things you got to cut down. And one of the big things you got to cut down is all our excuses we've got. Not me, God. Brother Caskey, he's just wandering around up there on the platform. He's just jabbering away, but not me. Yes, you and me. I have no more excuse. It's right now saying, I'm available for what God wants to do. Hallelujah. Now, so the amazing thing is, remember, if you recall, they were so scared, all of Israel was hiding in caves and rocks and dens. Fearful. Gideon blows a trumpet. He didn't even have the internet. He blew some little old ram's horn. And this is the amazing thing. When one person stands up, what other people start doing. Those people that were hiding in the rocks and the valleys and hiding, 32,000 showed up when one man got some courage to blow a trumpet and say, God can do some miracles. Hallelujah. Well, you know very well that God said, wait a minute, Gideon. I appreciate the response. But they're going to say they did it, and I want them to know I did it. Just tell everybody that's scared to go home, and 22,000 took off. He still had 10,000. It sounded pretty good, and God says, give him the water test. There's always a test that we don't like. And, of course, there were those that would take the water and pull it up to themselves, and there were others that just literally put their face in the water. God said, no, all this, put their face in the water, send them home. Send them back to their tent. I want these guys. They were too scared to do anything. They were scared the Midianites was going to show up. I can use those. See, sometimes we think it's going to be the brave, the tough guys. God's going to take some of us that are so scared and so fearful. I had this friend. His name was Brother Steve Timmons. He's now gone on to be with the Lord. Brother Timmons was an evangelist. And if you ever knew Brother Timmons, and many of you do not, he was quite, when he got excited about something, he was excited about it. Very excited. Now, I heard him tell me this story. Personally, I heard the evangelistic term, so somewhere in the middle is the truth. So I'll try to get it to you like that. But he was preaching a revival in somewhere between the North Pole and the South Pole. And he was on this faith idea. God can do anything, and if you confess it and it's in the Word of God, God can do it. So he was going with the pastor, and they're going to go just to the store. And while they're going to the store, Brother Timmons is preaching to the pastor. God can do anything. If you believe it, the word of the Lord says, with God, nothing should. And he just kept going on and on and on. And so now they're stopped at a Target store. And they're walking into the Target store, but blocking the doorway is a pickup truck. Just sitting there. And so somebody asked the lady who was standing there, man, what's the problem? She said, my truck won't start. And Brother Timmons says, God could do anything. He can start a truck. The lady said, here's the keys. Let's see if your God can start it or not. By that time, the pastor just kept on walking. Brother Timmons told me, he said, that truck lot bigger and bigger. He said, I finally climbed into it. And he said, that key looked bigger and bigger. He said, but God can do anything. He put the key into the thing, turned it on, the truck roared into life. He said, I told you God can do anything. Said anything like that happened to you? I've got a problem. I'm an engineer by training. So somebody called me one day and said, my car stopped. So I drove out there with my wife, and the lady was sitting there with her car, and she said, it won't start. I didn't have faith. I just had the gift of discernment. I said, your fuel pump is out. And it was. Hallelujah. So now Gideon's got a bit of an army, and he's scared. But he wants a reaffirmation from God. So he comes up with this fleece idea. Now, there's a lot of folks have tried fleeces, and most of the time you get fleeced when you try a fleece. You better know what you're doing when you do a fleece. Number one, if you're fighting against the Midianites that cover the valley without number and you only got 300 men, maybe you never go for a fleece. It better be a big deal. The next thing is, he said, God, I want you to put all the dew onto the fleece. And if this is true. And so the next morning he got up, and yes, there was water on the fleece and everything was dry. Gideon did not help God out, by the way. He didn't go and throw it in the pail of water. He didn't throw it in the creek. See, a lot of people, they have put out a fleece, and then to make sure God gets the message, they change the fleece idea. It's like the girl that just knows that's the man she needs, but the fleece is if he calls her. But just to make sure he calls her, she calls him. That's not a fleece. Or you're going to buy this new truck. And you said, Lord, if it's just so much money, then I know it's the will of God. You know where this is going already. You get there and the salesman won't take your deal. But you think about it, I think I can afford it. I think it's all right. You forget, though, that's not a fleece. You're getting fleeced. If you want a fleece, make sure it follows exactly what you said it was, or it's not a fleece. You're just trying to manipulate God. Don't throw your fleece in the water. Don't hide it in under the bed so it won't get wet. Just what you said. But be sure it's worth your time. Because if you're going to fight the Midianites, you might need a fleece. Y'all confused now? Good. In essence, I don't believe in them. Because they're always misused. Now, the night before the battle was another problem. Gideon's still unconvinced. So God says, I want you to go down into the camp of the Midianites. If you're scared, take your servant with you. And you're going to hear something down there. So he's walking among the Midianites, the people he's about ready to destroy. And this one fellow starts telling a dream. He said, I had this crazy dream last night. He said, well, what in the world did you dream? He said, I saw a little barley loaf come rolling down the hill, and it hit my tent and knocked it over. Now, that's a dream that's not quite interpretable, but it was. And the other fellow said, oh, that's nothing. All that means is that's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon's hiding behind the tent saying, well, they know I'm coming. God's already given them warning. Trouble's on the way. And so he begins to do what God told him to do. He goes back, he does what God says, and then the weapons he uses just don't make sense. He doesn't give them a sword and a shield and whatever. He gives them a trumpet, he gives them a lamp, and gives them a pitcher, and says, throw the lamp, blow the trumpet and shout the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and the victory comes. But here's several things I want to point out. Number one, faith must be based on the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't build your faith on Fox News or CNN or any of those other things. Build your faith on what God says. Because if you're going to listen to what they're saying, we're all dying, we're all perishing, we're all going... God's got a plan for this world that is much greater than anything else. Well, you said the book of Revelation. We're not there yet. Right now, we're in this time when God wants to start moving, and he's looking for people like you and me to get involved in the things of that he's promised to do. Second of all, courage to claim the promises of God. Courage to claim the promises of God. When Joshua was about to go into the land, and I want you to notice this in Joshua 1. Listen to this carefully. There shall no man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be, everybody say, strong and of good. For unto this people shalt thou divide the inheritance of the land which I swore unto their fathers and give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded, not to turn to the right or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way, everybody say, prosperous, and thou shalt have what? Courage, meditation, success, prosper. That's what God plans for his people. But be of courage to claim the word of God and the promise of God, or the word of prophecy that is spoken upon you. And I feel so strong in my spirit that there are people here tonight that you feel God is trying to get you a new level. I'm seeing some young people up here worshiping every service, and I'm seeing God literally hovering over you, and what you are about to experience is something I wish I could see, but you're going to see it. Somebody shout hallelujah right now. Somebody shout it. God is in the house. Hallelujah. Now, next thing is, do not consider your own weakness. All of us have weaknesses. I'm telling you, if you're going to be using one of the gifts of the Spirit, you want to pray for somebody, or you're going to do something, and as soon as you do, your mind's going to tell you, well, you didn't pray and fast today. You had a bad thought today. You know, you're just too young. Your mind will play tricks on you like that, and you're going to stand there hesitating. Everybody's got a weakness. That's the beauty of it. Because of your weakness, it's God that's going to do it. Now, this may be controversial, but I want to point this out to you. In the book of Luke 4:23, Jesus goes to his hometown. And they said, hey, we know you. Where do all these words come from that you're talking about? We know who you are. We know your mother. We know your father. We know your brothers. We know your sisters. We know. What are you like? Jesus says these words. You will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Now, this is a very controversial because nobody knows what this means. By that, I mean commentators do not know how to interpret that particular line that what he's saying there. Because we're always thinking of Jesus being strong, of Jesus never having a problem. But you've got to look at the scripture. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. He says this right after some great miracles. Meaning that Jesus, if I look at this right, there were moments in his life of great weakness. Humanly speaking. And in those weakness, he still depended upon the power of God to get the job done. Physician, heal yourself. We know you got problems. We know this, we know that about you. And so I've heard somebody say, Brother Caskey, until you get rid of your glasses, don't pray for my eyes. Would you please let me pray for your eyes? Because while I'm praying for your eyes, God can heal me, because I'm saying my weakness is not going to stop God from doing it. Hallelujah! Will not stop God from doing a miracle. Do not consider your weakness. Do you remember how you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody remember when you prayed for the Holy Ghost and got the Holy Ghost? Do you remember how you struggled right before you got the Holy Ghost? Will I ever get the Holy Ghost? Can I ever speak in tongues?
10 days.
It took me a lot longer than that. I was 11 years old when I got it, but man, I worked at it for quite a while. Back then, we believed in seeking. Seeking. We had people that sought for the Holy Ghost for 25 years. They knew someday God was going to give them the Holy Ghost. Thank God, in some cases, God did. I saw a few of them myself, talking in tongues, after 25 years. But you remember how you got the Holy Ghost? Did you get it because you were just really a good person that day? Did you get it because you really, really had this great faith and you just walked through the door and said, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost today? I know some have. But usually we're not too convinced. And most people I've prayed with didn't believe it. I'm going back to Brother Timmons when he got the Holy Ghost. He looked a whole lot different than he did later on in life. One of his backslidden friends brought this drug addict to church. And he watched the show. He thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever seen. He laughed at everything. And his backslidden friend got up and he thought he was heading for the door. But the backslidden friend headed for the altar. Because Brother Timmons, who wasn't Brother Timmons back then, didn't quite know where the door was, he followed his friend and got stuck at the altar. And I grabbed that character and prayed him through in the Holy Ghost. Now, he goes outside of the church, the old building, and he pulls out his cigarette and goes, what in the blank, blank, blank happened to me now? You know, God gives people the Holy Ghost that aren't perfect. But you got the Holy Ghost because you yielded to God at that moment. You surrendered to God. And when you surrendered to God, something happened. And amazing, amazing, you began to speak in another tongue. And somebody started yelling in your ear, you got it, you got it. And it most likely was me. Hallelujah. But you got it because you yielded to God. That's the same way for the gifts of the Spirit to operate. It's no big mystery. It's yielding to God and letting God do what God can do, not what you can do. But somebody just start shouting right now and praising God. Hallelujah. For the hallelujah. For the divine miracle that he's doing. Now, you got to remember something else. This is God's party, not ours. By that I mean, he gets the glory, not us. It's not my great preaching that's going to do anything tonight, but this is God's party. I'm just here trying to help God have a party, but if you'll just let God do it, you'll have a Holy Ghost party. And there's no party like a Holy Ghost party. Hallelujah. Paul said this. Romans 12:3, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The miraculous demonstration is the working of the Holy Ghost. It is God manifesting himself through us. And the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. How many are here ready for a miracle to start happening in their life? How many are ready to let the miracles happen in your life? Why don't you start coming right now? Why don't you just let God take over right now?
You want the miracles to start coming. Say, God, I'm here. I'm your vessel. I'm your servant. I want this for God. I'm sick and tired. I want a ministry that has power. I want a hallelujah. I want a ministry that does something more than what I've been experiencing. And God's looking at you and saying, I want you right now. Hallelujah. That's the way. Come on. Amen. And if you see something, lay hands on them and say, God bless them with. And as God blesses them, he's going to bless you. Because this is God's business. This is God's party. Hallelujah. And he cannot fail. Hallelujah. He will not fail. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I glorify your name tonight. I glorify your name tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Can use me here I am.
Praise God. Praise God. God separated his prophet, brought him into the mountain, showed him all kinds of natural phenomena, shook the mountain. But then when he spoke to him, it was in a still, small voice. Praise God. I believe someone here tonight heard that still, small voice speak to them. Brother Caskey doesn't preach a message like this unless he's directed by God to do this. Someone heard that voice tonight in this place. You didn't get struck by lightning. Nobody came over and prophesied over you. But God talked to your heart. I feel a confirmation in the Holy Ghost right now that I know that happened. So if that's you, you need to hang on to that. You need to cling to that. You need to grab it and let God confirm it for you and give you direction with it, because we need this. We're in an hour when the world needs apostolic Christians to make a difference in this world. So take the word that God has given you, whether anyone else recognizes it or not. If it came from God, he will bring it to pass. Let's pray one more time. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God, for your presence in this place. I thank you, God, for the confirmation of your word and the presence of the Holy Ghost working in us. Help us, Lord, to leave this place and nurture claim the word that you have spoken, O God, to our hearts and to our minds. And we will walk in it. We will do your will. And we will give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you in Jesus' name.